Say what ho, this is Brian in my nightshirt and morning gown gardener coming to you from Ice Station Zeppelin, i.e. the Ramble On Towers Dungeon Studio in, as USA Today called it, stupid cold Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble On Radio episode number 83. Ramble On Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. And if you're in iTunes for any reason whatsoever, pop over to Ramble On Radio, leave a review. Listen on Spreaker, Spreaker. Be sure to follow me, Ramble On Radio, on Spreaker. And check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube, where you will see the video. The video evidence, you'll get to view the dungeon. One day, maybe I'll take you back and show you the submarine popping through, but it's not out yet. It's not popped through quite yet. Another week or two. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. And yes, it is. We're back in the stupid cold territory. It is just that time of year. It's what we call January in these parts. Minus 15 to minus 20, with snow. You know, it's not supposed to snow when it's this cold, but it's kind of been a crappy week for that, too. Just enough to make driving rough. But that's the life in the cold world. You heard the intro. Coming out of the intro, you heard Bron Rahr, yours truly, on guitar. Just my little ode to Physical Graffiti, which... they announced officially today. We heard word yesterday, announced officially today, February 24th, 40th anniversary of the original release. February 24th will be the release of the new remastered version of Physical Graffiti. February 23rd, if you're in Europe, basically that's a Monday, Tuesday. Europe does Monday, we do Tuesday over here in the Americas. And the Tuesday happens to be 40th anniversary. So in Europe, it's, well, almost the 40th anniversary. And as usual, it comes with the, it's going to be a 2-CD set, 2-LP set, and then the deluxe edition, which will be 3 LPs or 3, only one disc of bonus material. And then the box set will be 6 discs of 3 LPs, 3 CDs, a flak download plus the 90-page book. And it's, you know, if you're in Europe, it's dropping at $200, £133, I think the UK one is. Closer to 160 currently, which is getting, it's getting into the out of the range. For me, it's out of the range. It's, you know, I got 4 and 3, and I liked Houses of the Holy. I wasn't going to get 1 and 2, just because 1 I was iffy on, 2 I wasn't nuts on in the first place. The bonus material didn't do much for me. It's not my favorite album anyway. And then 1, I got the CDs, and I really liked the bonus material. I actually got the LP, you know, so I have that material in CD and LP, so I wasn't going to buy the box. In part because I'm not a big fan of Houses of the Holy or Coda either. So I kind of thought, well, I won't bother with those boxes. But I liked Houses of the Holy enough. The bonus material specifically, I like the remastering. I was thinking, well, maybe I'll get that, and if I do, then it's probably worthwhile going back to get 2 and 1, because I'd want Physical Graffiti Presence in the Outdoor. And then I'll deal with Coda when Coda comes. But, you know, at that point, you're going, well, I want the set, right? If you like enough of them, then you'd spend the extra money on the 1 or 2 and get the set. But I'm going to the store, and it's $150. And Amazon.ca sent me an email today, you know, get House of the Holy box set, $300. I don't know what's going on. You know, and 150 is outside of the range I would spend. I believe my wife spent that on 4 for Christmas, and I didn't mention this last week. Yes, I had been talking about it before Christmas. Yes, I got the box set to 4 for Christmas. So I got 4 and 3, and let me show you this. If I got the number on the old guitar stand down there. And the reason we're there is because that's what we're talking about tonight, by the way, is the box sets. There we go. So if you're on YouTube, you just got a glimpse of a really close shot of my shirt and your background where I actually have the box sets. And we'll deal with those a little bit later, more so. But, you know, Physical Graffiti being a bigger one and it's going to be more expensive, now it's kind of out of the price range, too. It's not likely, you know, if it comes into the $100 range, I might get it. I'm really rethinking my thought that I would get all these. Now I might, if I find Houses of the Holy for $100, ish, you know, 110 or 115. But I certainly wouldn't go over 125, I don't think. And then the same, and Physical Graffiti, as much as I want, it looks like it's going to be even a little bit pricier. So, no. You know, but I don't know. I have to keep a close eye on that one. Certainly Presence and In Through the Outdoor I want to get. So I almost guaranteed wind up with 4. Will I wind up with 5, 6? If I wind up with 6, then it's worth backtracking to get the other 3, right? I guess it's been my point. But, so I guess it's a warning for the guys in Zeppelin. Be careful what you price this. Be careful what the end price is. Because you may find I'm not the only person who's decides that, well, maybe not after all. Maybe I won't bother getting all of them. Maybe I won't backtrack, or maybe I won't. You know, there's a lot of people think Physical Graffiti is the last kind of really good Zeppelin album, the last great Zeppelin album. There's even some who think it's the last good Zeppelin album. A lot of people don't think Presence or Into the Outdoor or Coda or much. But if you were thinking, I'll get all the box sets, and then you're looking at Physical Graffiti being, oh, it's that much money? Then now you're going, well, I won't bother with the ones I don't particularly like, Presence, Into the Outdoor. So I think they have to be careful on that. Far be it for them to take marketing advice from me, though. I mean, they have far more money. They're far better at this stuff than I am. So I'm just spitballing on that. But anyway, Physical Graffiti, February 24th. All this various formats. And here is the bonus material. Brandy and Coke, which is Trampled Underfoot Initial Rough Mix. Sick Again, early version. In My Time of Dying, initial rough mix. Houses of the Holy, rough mix with overdubs. Everybody Makes It Through, and that's in brackets, In the Light, early version, in transit. Boogie with Stew, the Sunset Sound mix, and Driving Through Kashmir, rough orchestra mix. So let's go over these one by one. Brandy and Coke, Trampled Underfoot, initial rough mix. That could be with or without vocals, doesn't suggest either way. Likely to just be like we've heard with Rock and Roll or Black Dog or some of the other rough mixes, that it's just a slightly different mix. Sick Again early version. It may be a completely different version. And that sounds like it's not a mix so much as a different recording, which may mean for different vocals, may mean for even some different guitar parts, a different, you know. That'll be interesting to see. In My Time of Dying, initial rough mix. One hopes that there's, you know, they did that live off the floor as a four-piece, or as a three-piece musically. I think the vocals went in after. So, not a lot you can play with on that, unless they have other versions, but that, you would think they would call it a different version, not a different mix. So I'm not enthusiastic on that, unless something interesting turns up in that. Same with House of the Holy rough mix with overdubs. We'll see what that is. In the Light early version / In Transit, which is titled actually Everybody Makes It Through, there is some early In the Light stuff in some of the bootlegs. And that's interesting. That's some of that very good, actually. It'll be interesting to see what that really is. Boogie with Stu, Soundset Sun Mix. Now, Boogie with Stu is recorded in the fourth album, the recording of the fourth album. Ian Stewart, the road manager for the Stones, their originally their keyboard player, piano player, he was kind of they used the Rolling Stone truck, and he was kind of the keeper of the truck, so he popped in to see how things were going, hold on a sec. And so this was the mix that went to L.A., would have gone on the fourth album had they put it there. Much like the Stairway to Heaven mix was the Sunset Sound mix, as you recall. And then Driving Through Kashmir is the orchestra mix. Originally, Kashmir was called Driving Through Kashmir and had the orchestra in it. It'll be interesting to see what this is. That's, you know, there are some bootlegs on that and sort of stuff. But we'll see what that is. But that's it. That's coming on February 24th. Save your pennies, kids. It's coming, and as I told you before, my plan was I've been hearing that for a year. I've been talking about that for a year. That it just made too much sense. The rumor was out there, and it made too much sense not to put it on the 40th anniversary. And as a standalone, because it's a bigger album anyway. And then, my plan was next month will be Physical Graffiti Month. We'll talk about the songs specifically on the first album. Literally disc, album disc, vinyl disc. The songs, the seven songs, I think, pop on the first. And then the eight songs that make up the second disc, the second week. And then the third week, we will talk about the album as a total, in its totality. And I'm doing some research now on it. I will continue researching away a little bit on this so that I actually have something interesting to say. And then we'll talk about the remasters. We'll talk about the bonus material plus how the remasters actually sound. On the probably on the 26th of February, I guess that'll be. All right. So last week I talked about what's coming up on the 15th or in 2015. We look back at 2014, and one thing I forgot to mention was tours. Robert Plant toured last year, and we talked a lot about that, and Jason Bonham had various shows, and we talked a bit about some of those, and so on. And I never, you know, 2015, we didn't have any information on anything happening in 2015, other than to say, Jimmy Page says he's going to do something, look for an album, look for a tour. I would not expect a tour out of Jimmy this year. Maybe an album happens, maybe. More likely, in reality, 2016 is when anything happens. 2015 will be when it gets created, I guess is the word, right? It'll get made in 2015, maybe. But will you see an album by Christmas? I'm going to suggest not. I'm going to suggest if he's not started recording yet and hasn't his band together, then the likelihood that happens before the spring of 2016 is very, very low. Sometimes you wonder with Jimmy Page if he gets that the world has changed. That Peter Grant's not there to force things through anymore. And that the world, and it takes, everything takes longer nowadays. Everything just takes. And look at, you know, when they announce a tour, they announce it 6-8 months in advance sometimes, the big ones. Now that's got a lot to do with ripping you off, basically holding your money in the bank for 10 months and collecting interest. But nonetheless, I think Jimmy doesn't get that that's how it works nowadays. Sometimes. And it may be because he has not really been out there performing in this kind of way. And it may be that he gets it. I mean, I'm sure he gets it intellectually. But when it starts to happen, you wonder if he's going to get frustrated. Look, I want this to happen. I want this that record out. Yeah, well, you know, this has got to happen. That's got to happen. The other thing's got to happen. Things just, you know, you don't just kind of get together, record some songs, and within a month or three, they're out. It doesn't happen that way anymore. So I wouldn't expect anything from Jimmy at 15. The hope, I think, is that he creates something in 15 for us to see in 16. Could be wrong, could be being pessimistic, but anyway. So that's, now John Paul Jones is supposed to be done, if I recall properly, his opera is supposed to be done in 2015. He has said that before, that it was due out for sometime in 2015, I think. Matter of fact, I kind of thought it was supposed to be down in the 14. So maybe John Paul Jones, the opera gets done and he starts popping up later in the year with something, you know. Them Crooked Vultures, you know, album 2, Mach 2. You don't know what's going to happen with him because you don't know what's happening with the opera. I should fire an offering email to his management and they'll ignore it, but I should do it anyway and see if there's any bite on any information on what John Paul Jones is up to. If John Paul Jones management monitors this podcast, by the way, John Paul Jones yourself, although I know in his creation mode he turns off the internet, hey, email me, let me know, when's the opera done? Well, how's it going? Love to talk to you about it. I'm a big opera fan, actually, so I'd love to talk to you about it. Anyway, but those two, I guess is what I'm saying, is maybe not expect much. But Robert Plant toured a fair bit last year, and it looks like he's going to be doing some shows. Well, I wouldn't say he toured, right? But he did shows, and he did a week of shows, you know. So he probably did, 30 shows, 35, 40 shows over the course of the year. And they would have been spread out over, you know, 9 months sort of thing. He did sometimes two shows or three shows, and then other times he did like an 8-show set, you know, an 8-show tour, mini tour. But he didn't really tour so much as he did. He would show up in an area and do a bunch of shows within 1,000 miles or so, you know, the Midwest, or I think he was in, he did New York up through to Toronto and Chicago and that sort of thing, right? And I think actually made it over to L.A., didn't he? So I think we can expect more of the same from Robert Plant, and as evidence of that, he will be appearing in Napa Valley at the Napa Valley Expo in May 29th or 31st. It's called the Bottle Rock Festival. It's part of the Napa Valley Expo. Tickets went on sale today, Thursday, January 8th. The shows are May 29th. It's the last weekend in May in Napa Valley. Now, you know I'm not a big fan of the current Robert Plant stuff, but, you know, sitting in a outdoor festival in Napa Valley, assuming there's, you know, wine available, and I don't mean that if I'm liquored up, but assuming there's wine, you know, you could have a sit and have a picnic almost, some wine, some nice sandwiches, might be a really nice way to see Robert Plant. That might be the way to do it. So if you're out that area, I'm not, because it wouldn't be anywhere near as cold if I was. Napa Valley, May 29th to 31st. I don't know exactly which date Plant is playing. The Bottle Rock Festival. Tickets are on sale now. And if you go to RamblinRadio.com, I have a link to the festival. It's not a simple BottleRock.com. It's, it's a something.com and then / Robert Plant plays the Bottle Rock Festival in Napa Valley. You know, it's this huge long. So just go to RamblinRadio.com. I have a link there. Tickets are on sale now. Conversely, we talked to James Dillon, Jason Bonham's singer, a couple of weeks back, month now, I guess. And I hope y'all went and bought the picture. bought the pictures, helped him out. Jason, he mentioned that the Led Zeppelin Experience would be performing in March. He didn't have any dates that sent. He didn't even know it. As a matter of fact, I emailed him today to let him know on this one. Uptown Theater in Napa. So he's in Napa too. The Uptown Theater in Napa, California on March 11th is the first announced Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. It was announced by, the tickets are on Ticketmaster, and tickets go on sale Monday. And if you go to rambleonradio.com, I have a link for that. And somebody suggested there's a pre-sale. Tony Catania, I think, posted a link, and there's a pre-sale for those tickets. I don't know. I don't have a code for you. Expect in the next. And just before this is 8:30 at night on January 8th, Thursday, January 8th. Just before I press record, the last thing I did was go to Ticketmaster and check if any other shows had popped up. They haven't. Expect them to in the next week, 10 days. I would imagine by next week, by the time I'm doing this next week, I'll have 5 or 6 or 10 dates for you. And 2 weeks from now, by the time we're talking about Physical Graffiti, it's going to be, we'll be, the full tour will be announced. As well, Jason is playing with Sammy Hagar at the Carolina Rebellion Festival on May 2nd. The band is called The Circle, Sammy Hagar and The Circle. The band features Michael Anthony from Van Halen and Chickenfoot and a guitarist called Vic Johnson from the band called Waboritis. W-A-B-O-R-I-T-A-S. Waboritis. Waboritis is all I can come up with on that. Waboritas? I have no idea. Never heard of him. Don't know who he is. But, he's playing with Jason Bonham and Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar. He's probably okay. You're thinking Chickenfoot. The last guy that Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony played with was that fancy guy. Guy who does all sorts of notes. And a guy I'm not a fan of, but he's a good, really good guitar player. So I'm thinking Vic Johnson is good. And yeah, somebody's going to email me the name. I know it. As soon as I'm done here, I'll be... Oh, yeah, damn. there you go. But Joe Satriani. Joe Satriani. Stop emailing now. Press cancel on the email. I got it. It's Joe Satriani. Michael Anthony, Joe Satriani with Sammy Hagar. The guy from the Chili Peppers on drums, right? In Chickenfoot. So you got to think, Vic Johnson is probably a pretty good guitar player, even if I've never heard of him or the band he comes from. And then before I get to the topic, something interesting kind of came up this week. Somebody mentioned this on For Badge Holders Only. So mentioned part of this. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to credit him, and although I don't have his name, the second part of this is not an original thought. But something came up this week, a couple of things, and I thought there was dots to connect here, and this was interesting. Roger Daltrey, doing an interview, said Kenny Jones joining The Who was a mistake. And it's interesting because the reason Kenny Jones joined The Who, if you've read Pete Townsend's book, you'll know Roger Daltrey never wanted Kenny Jones. He always thought he was the wrong guy for the band. The guy who thought he was the right guy for the band was Pete Townsend. And Pete Townsend was adamant that I am done with The Who if it's not Kenny Jones on drums. Pete Townsend had said the reason they toured with Kenny Jones, Roger Daltrey wanted nothing to do with it. Pete Townsend said, this is the only guy I will go out as The Who with. Otherwise, I'm done with the band. I'm going solo. And if you wonder why The Who kept having, they were done, they would have farewell concerts, and then they would have a reunion tour. The reason is because John Entwistle had habits. And the guys would start bugging Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend would be the guy who quit. I'm done. I want to do my solo stuff. I have this other project I want to do. It wasn't angry. It was I'm ready to move on. And he would move on. And then 5, 6, 8 years later, the phone calls would start coming. Look, John's broke. We need to go out on the road. And he would go, no, I'm doing my thing. And they go, You know, and another guy, look, John's broke. We need your help here. It's not the Who without you. So he would eventually relent. And that's why they would continue to do it. But I say that, I just point that out because I think that's interesting. That after the death of Moon, Pete Townsend was the only guy who wanted Kenny Jones, but they went with it because he was the only guy who was also willing to walk away from it. Robert Plant is the same, kind of was the same as Pete Townsend, except he couldn't find a drummer he was willing to work with, you know? And I think in lieu of those comments and thinking about it, it would be an interesting question to ask Robert Plant about when they played with, was it Cozy Powell, I think they played with, wasn't it? Or Tom Thompson? Yeah, I forget who. But there was a drummer they worked with. And Tony Franklin, maybe? In about 81, 82, the band actually did get back together and they toured. And they had this drummer. And then this drummer got in a car accident. And Plant walked away at that stage. But the suggestions, you know, in some books and whatnot, are that Plant was not particularly happy with the whole scene anyway. But it'd be interesting to ask Robert Plant, not why did you walk away, why, you know, what's wrong with you, you wouldn't do it. But in lieu of those kind of comments and knowing Pete Townsend's attitude, was there a drummer that Robert Plant might have felt comfortable with? Was it a case of, and how was it drumming with somebody else with that band? Did it fundamentally change the band? In a way he either expected or didn't. That'd be an interesting question to ask Robert Plant. But I thought that was an interesting comment about Kenny Jones was just a mistake, knowing that Pete Townsend said this is the only way it's going to happen. Robert Plant was kind of in Pete Townsend's shoes and didn't get talked back by any drummer. And so the difference in a large part between The Who and Led Zeppelin in terms of legacy is... you know, that Plant holding strong to that. No, I'm not doing it. Or not finding the guy. Whereas, and I suppose, you know, conversely, John Paul Jones didn't piss away all his money on a regular basis. You know, it always helps, right? But anyway, and there's a second part of the story. Is Robert Plant talking about Phil Collins and how he really encouraged him to go forth with solo. And this was this week as well. And of course, he played on Robert Plant's first album, and first solo album, and he encouraged him. What if Phil Collins had said, let's do Led Zeppelin, I'll do it with you. And Robert went back to Led Zeppelin and said, I'll do it, but it's got to be Phil. The way Pete Townsend did. What's that like? And it's an interesting question because in his book, in the Jimmy Page book, the picture from Nebworth, and this is the part somebody pointed out on For Badge Holders Only this week. Jimmy Page has a picture from Nebworth and he just says, you know, we played with an alternate drummer or a different drummer, a new drummer, without mentioning Phil Collins by name. So it leads to speculation that Page's opinion of Phil Collins is not quite on par with Robert Plant's, much like Daltrey's of Kenny Jones is not on par with Pete Townsend. So it's an interesting theoretical. What if Plant had said, if Phil Collins does it, I'll do it. And would Jimmy have done it? Would the other guys have done it? I don't know. It was just kind of two different stories that happened within a day of each other, two different interviews that happened within a day or two of each other. I just thought there was the dots there to connect. So I leave you that thought. That's the way it goes. All right, it's actually box set time. I figured this was maybe going to be I never get the timing right on these things, you know. It's a good thing I don't have a set time and sit and write down a script because the days I think it's going to go forever. I wrapped up in 25 minutes. The days I think, this isn't going to take so long. It goes pretty slow. This has been half an hour already, so I hope you're hanging with me here. Hope you're doing okay. I want to talk the box sets. We've got two. I'm gonna go over. Let me go over here. We've got two, right? Four, which I got for Christmas. Yay, Christmas! Led Zeppelin Under the Christmas Tree is my favorite. Work, not my favorite. Christmas, not even my favorite. Led Zeppelin on vinyl under the Christmas tree. And like last year, I actually got the Stones Live at Hyde Park on vinyl, and that was a great one too. And that was fun. It's just nice that nowadays with new vinyl and stuff, every year now, there's a record under the Christmas. There's nothing better. It's almost like getting a fire truck under the Christmas. It just makes me feel like a kid again. And of course, three. I got three as well. And this I got at my birthday in July. So will Physical Graffiti be for Valentine's Day? We'll see, but maybe not. I'm not so sure that I'm going to actually put up for that one. Just because of the pricing issues and stuff. Valentine's Day is a lesser. You know, like I really don't expect somebody to spend $160 on Valentine's Day. So I wanted to go in, you know, what's in them and how are they? Are they worth the kind of 100 and change? And I don't know about you, I'm keeping this part. That comes around the outside. So when you get it, it's in cellophane. And it's wrapped this sort of way. That's wrapped around like that. And that's how that looks. So I'm kind of keeping these. And there's the sticker from the cellophane. I kind of put that on there. So, don't know why I'm keeping that. Oh, you can see, I actually have the album on the turntable upstairs. So that's the bonus material LP, and it is not a gatefold. I'll show you that's not a gatefold. The back just looks like that, very plain. That's the front. If you're on YouTube, this is interesting. If you're not on YouTube, it's probably like, why is he talking like this as if I can see it? But anyway, so there's the LP itself. Gatefold with the inner sleeves. Now the inner sleeve is a little different. It's kind of a grayish. The one I got is white with black. On my and of course it was more papery, not as cardboardy. Maybe some original ones were this. Maybe in Britain they were this. I don't know. What I got, definitely not that. That's a good solid cardboard paper. A little hard to read the words "Two Story to Heaven," which is of course on it. And of course there is the numbered print. That's frameable or whatever, and you can see I am right there, 5,603 of 30,000. This is one I got at Christmas. If you pre-ordered and got 27,000, sorry about your luck. I don't care. Some guys are worried about getting low numbers. And then when you go down further, there is CDs. I haven't even opened these CDs yet because I have the CD, the double edition, in the car. But I will listen to them. I want to just kind of verify they're good, but there they are. As well as the download card. You can see my download because I've already downloaded the FLAC files and you can't do it again. So there you go. There's the card. It will just tell you, sorry about your luck. So that's what we look like for the entire set. If you haven't seen one and you're on YouTube, that's what the set looks like. And then there's the book. And the book is quite significantly large. Starts with that. As you can see, if you're on YouTube, it's got a Zeppelin cutout on the cover and then the album cover on the inside, and it has everything from pictures. Well, it's all pictures mostly, but some are like photo stats of reviews, some clips from Hedley Grange off of John Bonham's Super 8, and actually the clips of Dancing Around with a Mandolin out front, which showed up on It Might Get Loud, I think. There's screen captures of it, and there's also like pictures of the master tapes, the original master tapes written on. There's a picture of the mobile studio. This is not the Rolling Stones mobile studio, by the way. This is Ronnie Lane's mobile studio, it's the Stone mobile truck for this. It's Ronnie Lane's for Physical Graffiti, which we'll get to. I'm not going to show all this stuff to the screen because, most people don't watch it on the thing. Most people listen, so it's kind of boring, right? But it does have, okay, and then I cheated and I'm going to do this. You see the promo pictures? There's promo pictures. Those have been seen before. So some stuff's been seen before. There's photo stats of reviews, one by Chris Welch in Melody Maker, one from Len Goddard in Record Mirror. Lots of pictures. There's pictures and reviews of them going to Ireland. And this one's 4 was released, right? Check out this picture if you're on. Check out this picture of John Paul Jones. Have you ever seen John Paul Jones look quite like that? I mean, he looks like his hair's down Jimmy Page length. He's got the beard and he's all sweaty and he's just a mess. He looks like, well, not like the kind of gentleman he usually is. A very scruffy fellow at that stage. More reviews, more pictures of Jimmy in bad pants, etc., etc. But the book is, it basically gives you 1970, it goes through 1971. Lots of, 72 as well. Reviews of the thing, pictures of various singles, 45s that were never actually officially released, right? Including the famous Stairway to Heaven sampler, which is, if, you know, I knew 30 years ago, this is almost impossible to find. It has always been almost impossible to find. It's a two-sided Stairway to Heaven that they sent out to radio stations. But it has a bunch of singles from around the world. Different, you know, Rock and Roll, Black Dog, that sort of thing. I got a few of those. I do have Rock and Roll somewhere. And there's an Australian EP called Led Zeppelin Acoustically. Anybody's in Australia, you can get your hands on that. Send it to me. Just do it. I'd never even heard of it before. That would be cool. And it has on it. So I guess it's an EP, Australian Acoustically Catalog, EPA 228. That's the Way Going to California, and Stairway to Heaven on it. Looks like it's 45 size, but it would be 33, I guess. Or the other way, it's LP size, and it would be 45, probably. Pictures of them in Australia, etc., etc. And then it talks at the back about the what's on companion audio, some recording information, like the track information, and tours from 71, 72. Credits, translations, etc., etc. That's the box set of Led Zeppelin 4. Now, here's the thing. I got Led Zeppelin 1, the LP, the deluxe edition LP, I think $45. I bought the CDs for under 20. Whenever they're released, they tend to be about, it's $14.99 and $12.99 if you don't want the deluxe. This I know because I absolutely didn't want the deluxe on Zeppelin 2 and made the poor girl hunt through the store, and we picked through racks and racks looking for a non-deluxe edition of Led Zeppelin 2. All to save $2 that I went out and blew on a friggin' smoothie 30 seconds later. But, so that's what, call it $15, $20, $70. These things, at their cheapest, they go for about $100. And as I know, in stores currently, they're $150. So how bad do you want that book and the FLAC files? The FLAC files, I could care less about. I got MP3s. That's how I listen to digital music. Now, I've downloaded the FLAC files. I've put them aside. And occasionally, I've put them on. I have a FLAC player, a high-def player on the computer. And I'll kind of run it into I get some Bluetooth speakers and all right. It sounds pretty good, but I mean, if you're really after the high quality sound, pull out the CDs or pull out the LPs. So I don't know. The other thing is, if you really care about that stuff, you probably are pretty good at turning your CDs into high def files anyway. And you get the CDs, you know. So the box sets are about the book, lesser degree of the FLAC files, and then the collectability. And that's really where the value falls in, isn't it? So it makes me... I have not gone out and bought one. Let's put it that way. Now, mileage may vary, right? I understand that. I really understand that some guys have to have them, and I'm getting these, and that's that. And I will have them and collect them, and I will put them in the on the shelf, and they will look great. And I'll pull them down and look at the book once in a while, and I'll buy the LPs separate so I don't have to actually use the LPs out of the box set. There are people who do that, and that's fine. I just don't fall in the category of one of them. Because I just think it's just too much for me. It's You know, the $150 range is too much to buy for some music that I already have on 8-track, in terms of Led Zeppelin 3 and 4, on cassette. Plus, I have the original albums. Plus, I have the CDs. I have the CD of 4. I don't have 3 previously. And one thing I liked about this set, I really like, is it's allowing me to kind of get all, because I never did buy all the CDs. So it's allowing me to kind of get CDs and just keep them in my car. $12, $14 for the CDs. So I'll just keep them in my car. And, of course, getting the new albums can be a nice thing, LP-wise. I don't know. I don't know if the box sets is worth it so much. Okay, so there's the other one. And by the way, the sticker is not stuck to the thing on 3. On 3, the sticker is separate. But I have to keep it. I have to keep the sticker. I don't know why. There's something silly about that, isn't there? What do you think my number is? 3 I got for my birthday well after the fact. This one is... See, this one's up in the 23,000. And if you look at the albums of 3, and I'm just going to go through this again, gatefold of the original, plus the spinny wheel. But the bonus disc does not have the spinny wheel. It's a fake, and it is not. The card, yes, you cannot download off it, so have a peek. And the 2 CDs, which are in fact open, and come in these little, like a record type of sleeve. So there's that. Oh, and the cover of the CD on 3 is also a gatefold that also spins. I'm presuming that's, I haven't opened 4 yet, so I'm presuming that's the case then. And the book covers Mucho Material. That's all you need to know. Mucho Material. That's the book cover. So the book, yeah, it's all on a lovely date. You know, this would go along with Jimmy Page's book, because he does the date on the top, just like they have on these books. Excuse me, YouTube guys, while I pull this out and look. To tell you, my wife wants me to clean the office, and I've been thinking about creating a shelf back here where I can put all this stuff. But as you can see, these shelves, when I made them, I wasn't thinking that, but they're too small. Where does he put the urn? Does he put the urn in the bottom? It's in the bottom, but he's done the same thing. 1967, the page number, Led Zeppelin of the year, at the bottom of the page. And if you're on YouTube, you can kind of see that down there. See it? All right, so. I wonder if I could find that, his clip from. Where are we at? 77. Net worth. So we're kind of getting close. It's still 70 minutes. That's 70. So I want to see if I can find the one from Death Wish, Arms Tour, which is Ronnie Lane again. There's a name that's come up twice, right? That was a firm. That's 83. Wasn't 84 or 85 the. I shouldn't be doing this, should I? Should not be doing this stuff. Shouldn't be wasting your time. Live Aid. Return to Philadelphia. Live Aid with Robert Plant, John Paul Jones. Two rehearsals with a stand-in drummer. That's the quote. A stand-in drummer. Have you seen the back of this book, by the way? Stand-in drummer. So, yeah, similar kind of setup. Except the page number is down here. And the information and the years at the top, but he runs these through the year. So there's almost a synchronicity between these books and Jimmy Page's book, and they're a similar style too. One page per side, one picture per side, with a little blurb on some of them. Something I'm going to have to study more to figure out. But so this goes through 1970 and includes, look at the back. It is a 79-pager, includes touring 1970. touring 1970. So all the shows from 1970 are on it, in theory, although they've been known to get the stuff wrong, haven't they? So anyway, so the discussion, you know, and I guess I'm trying to get around that. The discussion is, are they worth the money? And it is, mileage may vary. It's maybe for you, maybe, you know, it depends on how much you like certain ones. At $100, I'm in, probably on all of them. $110. At $150, I'm not sure how many more I would get. That's, I'm probably going to wind up with two or three more, but I don't know any, you know, at $150, my pricing is getting funny. I'm uncomfortable in that price level. How's that? But they are nice to have. They look great on the shelf. I wish I could set it up here because they would look great behind me, loaded up, you know, going across along with one or two other large books there. And I turn around and pull them out when I need them, which would be convenient, yes? Anyway, let's call it that. That's be interested, you know, go on Facebook and let's maybe start a discussion. Did you buy any of the box sets? Have you bought all five so far? Are you into one or two, just your favorite album? And what did you think? And what did you think from a value perspective? I know you love the music, and I would be surprised at this stage if anybody said, well, the quality sucks, because it really, that's not an argument that's realistically out there. The audiophiles have weighed in, and these sets seem to be passing muster. So what did you think? Or are they out of your price range? Are you just, no, I'm sorry, I'm uncomfortable with that price range. I'll buy the CDs and I'm good, or I'll buy the LPs and I'm good, or, you know, I'll buy the buy the 8-tracks off eBay like that Brian guy. And, because you can get those for 10. I noticed somewhere, I was looking up Physical Graffiti today for the for my post. By the way, if you're buying the box set, go to Ramble On Radio. I got a big long post with all the stuff there. Click there. Drop some pennies into the Ramble On Radio, official Ramble On Radio fund. You know, buy some food for the submariners. And and it's time to go. I'm out of tea and getting dry. So that's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 83. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. And I've just put up three or four posts in the last 24, 36 hours, in which most links, if not all that I mentioned today, are actually up. So yeah, by all means, go to Ramble On Radio. Like I say, buy the box sets, buy the Physical Graffiti. And if you're going through Amazon, go that way. It doesn't cost you anything, and drops a few pennies our way. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, leave a review, please. It helps with how they see us. Listen on Spreaker, and be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. It helps. It helps with visibility. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, do me a favor, let the ad run. The ad's only 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Let it run. And thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 83.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.